making Sunday sermon have Monday meaning. Now, let's hear faith-based teaching with real-world application. Here's our own Dan Cook with today's Monday message.
Monday message is a semi-regular feature here on WCCO Radio, here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Jason DeRussia off today. He'll be back tomorrow afternoon. So we wind up for the fair. Stick around, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, where we're talking about the fair a little bit. But Monday message time, and the theme of this Monday message is we need to do better. What do I mean by that? There's going to be some folks out there that are bristling already, and hang with me. Trust me.
Doing great already, Dan. Thanks for asking.
There is an article in the Star Tribune. I don't know if you've seen it. Headline is Assassinations Place Vance Belter's Religion in the Spotlight. Of course, that's the individual who was accused and alleged and charged with the shootings of Minnesota legislators and the murder of Melissa Hortman and her husband, who's gained notoriety quickly in terms not only of his, you know, evil actions, but also because you heard a lot about his faith right out of the gate. There was video, there were pictures, there was audio of him preaching over in Africa and doing missions work and stuff like that. So it's an interesting article written by some heavy hitters over at the Star Tribune. And they did what I would say is mostly a fair job of talking about faith when it comes to Vance Belter. I could nitpick a few details of it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the reasons that I do Monday Message, one of the reasons that I feel compelled to talk about my faith and the applicability of faith to an everyday life scenarios, is because I believe in our culture, we've so separated the discussions around faith from everyday life scenarios, from other, you'd feel perfectly comfortable having conversation about a lot of different topics with a random stranger. Faith is almost never one of those things, right? We're very touchy about faith, and for understandable reasons, but I don't think it has to be that way. I think we can have conversations in secular spaces about faith without it having to be exclusive, without it having to be hitting people over the head with, you know, this is what you have to believe. I have no interest in doing that ever in any scenario, but certainly not in this one. What I most appreciated about in this article was that every pastor or congregant or official that they talked to as they went through this individual's life in terms of his faith and who he was influenced by and the churches he attended and stuff like that, every single one of them said without any hesitancy whatsoever that his actions are in no way, shape, or form based upon or in congruence with the core teachings of Christianity. They're just not. Christianity has been used over centuries to justify violence in a bunch of different forms.
Those darn crusades.
I mean, you go all the way back there. You can get back even farther than that. You can go back to ancient Rome. But the point is that when you really look into what the faith adheres to, what the faith's about, what the core principles of Christianity are, nonviolence is a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. It just is. And anybody that would think that, you know, there's a lot of talk about his feelings about abortion, about his feelings about a lot of different subjects, but abortion specifically in terms of his faith, anybody who thinks that it's okay for me to kill this person because they don't agree with me about abortion has lost the plot completely in terms of their faith. Absolutely, without question. But I think what's interesting is that the fact that somebody felt like this article needed to be written, that this idea of what's the connection between the faith that's so much a part of his life and the seeming disconnect with the fact that it doesn't seem very Christian that he went out and killed these people and shot these other people. The fact that somebody feels a sense of distrust of faith such that this article needed to be explored and written says, I think, a lot just in and of itself. It says to me that we've taken the discussion of faith so far out of the public sphere that there's now a disconnect that leads to suspicion of faith. That if somebody is a person of faith, that's something I need to kind of
be wary of.
Be wary of, because they're going to try and either, you know, convert me when I don't necessarily want to be converted, or they're going to try and use that faith to harm somebody else. And again, there's good reasons that I think people feel that way, but I think it's incumbent upon those of us that are people of faith that don't believe, obviously, in violence or in, you know, subverting anybody's rights based upon our faith. It's important for us to speak up It's important for us to push back against the idea that you need to be suspicious of people of faith. One of the things they mentioned in this article is kids' lessons plans that are referred to as sword drills. And the reason they're called sword drills, it's a memorizing scripture game, right? Where somebody calls out a passage from scripture and somebody has to, you know, read it off from memory. And it's a way of encouraging kids to memorize scripture, which is not a negative thing. It's negative if you're taught incorrectly what that scripture means. But the idea of memorizing scripture and internalizing it, I think, is a good thing. The reason they're called sword drills is because in the book of Ephesians, Paul refers to God's word as the Christian sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that I think doesn't get talked about enough by Christians, which isn't to say that the imagery that is used in the Bible means we can go out and commit violence because we're the good guys. So when we do it, it's okay. The reason that violent imagery gets used so often in the Bible, I mean, crack open the book of Revelation. There's violent imagery all over the book of Revelation.
I thought that was the fun chapter.
But in all of those instances, the idea is to subvert the idea of violence. The idea is to take a symbol of violence and turn it upside down and say, no, while the world is telling you that, you know, power over other people, that taking what you want, that demeaning other people, pushing other people to the margin because you're the righteous one, that's what the world is telling you you should do. But in the kingdom of God, in the terms of the faith, at the core essence of our theology, is the idea of service, is the idea of self-sacrificial love, mm-hmm. of sacrificing. And again, this goes back to our discussion about what I learned from my dad, sacrificing our wants for the needs of others, make sure other people have what they need.
Or your ego to just let people
sacrificing
be what they
your
are.
Ego, exactly, to let other people live their lives. We should never be condemning anyone that we're not already in relationship with. That's such a huge part of this too, right? That the idea that I'm going to judge you for who you love or how you love or how you see yourself when I haven't gotten to know you at all, when I don't actually know who you are as a person, is an anathema to true Christianity, to the true essence of the faith. That doesn't mean there aren't lines. That doesn't mean that I should just, whatever you want to do, that I'm cool with it. But if I'm going to condemn you, I need to know who you are and what you're about first. That's the idea. Establish the relationship, and then we can work on stuff where we might disagree a little bit. But the whole notion of violence being okay, let me step back to that for a second. So the sword drill is turning that on its side. I think I have four different crosses on right now, if I count my tattoo. Think about the image of the cross. Right? It's an image of grotesque violence. It was a means of torture and death and execution. There's nothing positive. If you talk to somebody in Jesus's day and time and ask them what they thought of the cross, they would not say, oh, this is a symbol of love and hope and grace and mercy. But through his sacrifice, through Jesus's self-sacrificial love, we turned that upside down and on its head. That image went from one of violence and grotesqueness to one of sacrifice and love and care. That's part of the core theology of Christianity. Taking the violent imagery, taking the violent ideas of everyday life and turning it upside down and emphasizing service and emphasizing love and emphasizing mercy and emphasizing grace. And that's something, again, that I just don't think gets talked about enough. And so when you have an article like this that says, well, you know, they do sword drills, is that encouraging violence? That's a fair question to ask, but there's a very clear answer to it, which is heck no.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's going on.
One of the things I find interesting about people that distort the tenets of the faith and the saying, it's my cross to bear,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think there's a little bit of American exceptionalism, manifest destiny, when you talk about people that are willing to go to the lengths of violence to impose their will, impose their faith, impose their message. But Jesus died on a cross for your sins. Like, that's a core tenet of the thing. So, like, why are you carrying a cross? There's no cross for you to carry anymore, right? Isn't that Jesus's thing?
That's an interesting question. Here's how I would approach that. When Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me,
mm-hmm.
what he's talking about there is the idea of that self. I've sacrificed for you. I need you to sacrifice for others.
Right.
That's what holds us all together as people of faith. Is the idea of I do for you, you do for that person does for somebody else, that other person maybe does for me. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we all kind of have what we need. That's this idea. I'm sacrificing a little bit of what I want. And again, the difference between want and need is a relative one. But I'm sacrificing what I want so that I make sure that this other person has what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's driven by the sacrifice that was made for me.
Right.
By Christ. That's that idea.
That's the idea. It might not always be the translation of what truly happens, because that's where I think the hairs get crossed of you know, where's my part in this? How can I help? How do I live my faith? How do I walk mm-hmm. within those steps? And those distortions, I think, are where those can come in, because that path is there. But is it the right path? Is it the path that I'm telling myself? Like, am I taking the messaging to heart truly to what it is to be? But when you talk about somebody like Vance Bolter, clearly that wasn't the message, and that's just mirrors and things that he distorted for himself.
And it's important to say this, too, because you know who says that Vance's faith wasn't a part of what he did? Vance. I mean, he's doing interviews all over. He's got to be driving his lawyer is just absolutely insane, because he's not helping himself at all with all these interviews that he's doing, but he's talking to media all over the place, including to the Star Tribune, and they quote some of the stuff. They used a messaging service at the jail that he's in and to talk to him a little bit, and he was adamant about the fact that this wasn't a product of his faith. So, you know, again, I think it's a worthy question to explore on the behalf of the Star Tribune. What struck me is that the way that they explored it is important to be pointed out that, you know, we don't have enough conversations in the public sphere about this stuff, and that I, as a Christian, other Christians need to do a better job of communicating some of the core tenets of our faith so that some of the questions that come up in this article have better answers to them. That's today's Monday message. We're going to take a break. We're going to get an update on traffic and weather one more time. When we come back, I think I have reached a new level of nerddom. I think, and I don't know if this is peak nerddom, but this might be peak for me. I'll explain what I mean when we come back right after this. You're listening to 830 WCCO.